dumps by Smith. And no rebounds, if that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we send picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say, go New York, go New York, go. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of West Coast Knicks Fan. I am your host, Matt Ritter. Alongside, as always, from the East Coast is Jeff Cerulli. Another day, another huge win, buddy.
Back to basics, back to the beginning of the season where they are beating the shit out of shitty teams.
Doesn't it feel like the beginning of the season again?
Yeah, everyone's back, and this is what they were doing in the beginning. They were beating the shit out of shitty teams, and they're back to doing that.
Yeah, it feels nice. It you know, we have that I know we're going to win feeling going into a game.
You knew they were going to kill the Pistons.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but you know, that was sort of missing for a little while.
Oh, yeah. When you lose to the Kings out there and you're down 27 at one point, you just started throwing at things out like, "Ooh, what's going on here?"
Are you there?
I am here. I'm loving it.
Yeah. I gotta say, this was about as exciting a week watching them as there has been since the beginning of the season.
It was just like the beginning of the season. I mean, by the beginning of the season, they beat Miami. They beat San Antonio. They had some, like, quality wins. Look. They're still professional teams. Let's start with last Sunday against the Hawks. The Hawks are a professional team. And by professional, I mean like they have some good players. They know how to play team basketball. That's not an easy game per se.
No. You know,
that's not an easy – Josh Smith is a very, very good player. So, you know, that's a tough win. You know, you got to fight for that.
Yeah. No, look, the rest of these teams were not – you know, they're not good teams.
Orlando's garbage. I was at that game.
Oh, yeah. That was a big birthday game. Happy birthday, buddy.
This is how I knew they were going to kill them. And I texted my friend when the Magic were shooting 80% and the game was tied. I was like, they're going to blow them out.
Yeah, so they came out red hot, didn't they?
10. Well, J.J. Redick was 6 of 6 to start the game. There's sometimes with the Knicks, there was a random white guy that goes off on them, whether it's Mike Dunleavy or J.J. Redick.
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy for some reason has that against the Knicks. But so how are your seeds?
Well, here's the thing, man. I was right next to your boy, Frank Isola. I was sitting right next to the press row.
Oh, that's great.
Our friend of the podcast, Frank Isola, so I added him on Twitter, but he didn't respond to me. I did a little Berman of the Post. I pandered to him. I did a little, I'm sitting next to Frank Isola, and I'm here with Berman of the Post, but he didn't write back to me.
Why didn't you just come say hi to Frank?
There's kind of like, you got to like step up a little bit, and you got to get, it was just, you know, it wasn't the right time. It was kind of tucked away in the press thing. But let me tell you about the new MSG, man. You obviously haven't been there. I was sitting in 215, which is like, you know, the second level. And all along the front row, they have little TVs, like little 20-inch TVs, little flat screens. And it's great, man, because, like, you can actually change it if you're sitting in the front row, so you could put on another game. But the guy in front of me, we had MSG on, and you could see the replay right when it happens. It's awesome, man. It's really a good thing.
That's great. So did you stay for the whole game?
I had to, man. I'm not going to Knicks game, which is great. Like, as opposed to going to, like, a Giants game or a Jets game, you might want to leave to beat traffic. Like, the Knicks, just go around get out and you catch it. You know, you're going to stay till the end unless you really got to go. But I stayed till the end. It was an awesome game. It ran on all cylinders. Everything's working. It was a lot of fun, that game.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's got 215 is a good level to see a game from, too.
Oh, it was great, man. It was really good. And like I said, those TVs were great. And that was a fun one. I mean, J.J. Redick had 29, though. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jameer Nelson went off, too. I'm not concerned about anything, right? To be honest, I'm on cloud 9 after this week. You know, to me, it's more exciting than the beginning of the season, because the beginning of the season was like, is this real? We know it's real now. We know how good the Knicks are. And it's just really nice to see a team that's like a top-tier team just annihilate scrubby teams.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's what you got to do. I mean, do you think they're being bullies in the Sacramento Kings game, J.R. Smith taking half-court shots, or were you loving it?
Well, look, I wouldn't have a different impression, but, you know, look, they beat us by one, so time for a little revenge, you know?
I agree, and they were dancing around.
Yeah. Fine. Also, the Kings are kind of like a bunch of young punks, you know, so it's like teaching them a lesson.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad. They're professionals, and they beat us by one. I didn't feel bad at all.
You know, we also dominated a Milwaukee team.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one. You're going to say dominate? I mean, they won by 10. They kind of were down by 8 at one point. Like, it was, and that wasn't an easy game for them.
Well, again, you're right. I shouldn't say dominate. I mean, not when they're beating teams by 40. But again, another game where you just know they're going to win.
Yeah, I thought they'd win, too. They pulled away, but that was a little bit of a dogfight. Jennings always gives the Knicks trouble. He's got that chip on the shoulder because we didn't draft him. And then Ellis is speedy. The Knicks have trouble with him. So, you know, Ilyasova can do some things. Like, that's not an easy matchup for the Knicks. But, yeah, they took care of business. But still, it was like – but you know what? When you sandwich that in with Orlando, Sacramento, and Detroit games – and they won by 12, it just seems like they blew them out, you know?
Yeah, it just seems like a week of, like, just complete, you know, just complete domination. By the way, you brought this up to me. We have to call out Mark Stein right now.
Oh, number 10. The Knicks are ranked number 10.
Yeah, Knick fans out there listening, go tweet at Mark Stein, tell him to get his head out of his ass, because he obviously didn't watch a game at all this week.
Yeah, I mean, his theory was that the Pacers and the Bulls both beat the Knicks recently.
Not a Knicks full-strength squad.
I agree, but he's saying they beat him. And then he went off on something about the Pacers' road record is amazing or something. And it's like, you know, their home record's great. So I don't really know what he's talking about there. And, oh, no, it was the Bulls' away record. I'm sorry, I'm mixing it up. It was the Bulls' away record. Thibodeau is going to be coach of the year because they have such a great road record. But they did beat the Knicks three times. You can make a case the Bulls could be harder than the Knicks, though.
Not right now. I mean, if you're just going by how a team played in the past week, which is what the power rankings is, like, up to date, the Knicks are now back as a top five team in the NBA.
I mean, look, man, we got a matchup with the Clippers coming. The Clippers got some injuries. The Clippers, talk about a team up and down. I mean, they started 8-6, which is, you know, okay. And then they won. What they won, they didn't lose in December.
Right.
They won 17 in a row, and now they're kind of treading waters with all these injuries.
Yeah, right. I mean, if anything, right, why doesn't the Clippers drop out of the top 10? Like, what the heck?
Yeah, the Clippers, they lost to Boston the other night.
Yeah,
Boston,
well, did you see that shot? Paul Pierce hit a really ridiculous shot.
Yeah, he does that. But yeah, the last few, they're on a three-game losing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're 2-7 in the last 9, the Clippers.
Yeah, I just think it's a joke to put them above the Knicks.
No, we can't have that.
Also, Memphis. What the hell is Memphis doing above the Knicks?
Yeah, right? You know what Calderon was thinking today? He's like, man, I wish I was in Toronto. They just got Rudy Gay. I was playing there.
I want to talk about that trade later, but let's first finish recapping the week. I was going to say, is this one thing that we should be concerned about going forward? Raymond Felton's defense against these really quick guards.
You know what? It's not his forte. I don't know if we should be concerned. I know Jrue Holiday lit him up. And, I mean, that Philadelphia game is long forgotten now, where they got destroyed. I mean, they're not as bad as that, obviously. They put up 80 points. They could only muster 80 points against the bottomless Sixers. But there was a bad stretch where, yeah, Deron Williams kind of had a good game. Who else?
Jameer Nelson had 27, and then Brandon Jennings had a big game.
Jennings played all right. I'm not too worried. I'm more worried about getting Rasheed Wallace or Camby healthy for someone in a rebound. That's what I'm more worried about than the point guard defensive.
Well,
position.
Tyson Chandler has solved that rebounding problem by just doubling the amount of rebounds that he gets.
23 times in a row.
Yeah, I mean it's an easy solution if you just go, oh wait, well Tyson Chandler just averaged 20 a game, we should be fine.
If he's gonna do that, then yes, we don't have to worry.
I think our problems are solved.
Tyson Chandler is going to get 20 rebounds every game for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Amari will get his 5.6, and Chandler will get his 20.
Amari, a revelation off the bench.
Can I just say, Jeff, do you think maybe we could get a Kickstarter campaign going to send us to Akeem's workout camp?
We need $50,000. We'll start the Kickstarter so that we can get into Akeem's camp so that we can bless us with spin moves.
Yeah, listen, I'm putting it out there to our listeners. We need $50,000. Wait, $50,000 only going to send one of us there.
Oh, boy. $100,000 for the West Coast Knicks podcast to go to Akeem's.
Yeah, so we need six figures to get us in for 1 week at Akeem's post-up camp.
Do you think LeBron paid? We were talking about this last time. I feel like LeBron is just a name that he wants.
I almost feel like you get LeBron on your resume so that everybody else will pay.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, the best player worked out with him. Why shouldn't I?
It's a very funny psychology if you're Hakeem. You know, if LeBron, like, do you reach out to LeBron? You go, hey, LeBron, I'm thinking about starting this 1 week post up camp. Will you come? I'll make it free, and then I'll rape Amari and such for the money.
Who else has worked out with him? Dwight Howard.
Oh, they gave a list today during the game.
Did they?
Yeah, I'll look it up while we're talking. But yeah, it was an interesting list because obviously it hasn't worked for Dwight Howard at all.
I don't know, man. I mean, he's got that shoulder to deal with.
Yeah,
D'Antoni. I mean, is Woodson not going to be coach of the year? Woodson's record after the Knicks. And with D'Antoni, he's like 47-20. It's like insane.
Yeah, look, I got to be honest. The idea of people not putting him as the number one for Coach of the Year baffles me.
You could make a case for Thibodeau, though, without Derrick Rose.
Yeah, but they've already been what they've been, you know? I mean, look, yes, you could say that. But again, like, they've already been good without him before. You know what I mean? Like, they were good every time he's missed games. They were good last year. They were good the year before. Like, he already has a system in place. For Woodson to come in and do what he's done is nothing short of miraculous.
It's tough, man, because Thibodeau, that Rose injury is really big, and they're ultra-competitive this year, and they're tough out. But Woodson would be a homer, but I would give the nod to Woodson because this team was pretty much gone. Garbage with D'Antoni, turns it around, and now they're number one in the division.
Yeah, I mean, we're back on track for 55, 56 wins again.
Yeah.
Which I think it's looking more likely now that you look at the Knicks' schedule the rest of the way. I mean, it's looking pretty likely we're going to hit, you know, mid-50s.
Well, my pick was 53, dude. I mean, we're still faithful to that. We have me on record the first podcast that said 53 wins.
What did I say, 49? What did I say, 49?
You said under 50, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking pretty stupid. Pretty dumb. Let me ask you this. Did you see Amari added another element to his game today? He hit a turnaround jumper, baseline, dream shake.
Oh, yeah, that was great. And also, what about the feed to Melo where he kind of was like backwards and then he kind of like turned around?
I'm loving the Melo Stoudemire synergy, man. Those guys enjoy passing to each other.
It's great, man. I mean, anyone who said they couldn't play together, it was such a misleading stat saying Amari and Melo can't play together. You go back to the first season, you don't have a point guard and Mike D'Antoni's your coach, and then he got hurt in the playoffs, Stoudemire. So let's not count that.
Yeah.
That season, everybody sucked. They all sucked. Mel was playing power forward. We got Tony Douglas as a point guard. Finally, when we get Lynn, everyone got hurt at different points. Melo, Stoudemire. And then D'Antoni leaves. Woodson comes. And people forget, man, if they didn't play the Heat, they probably wouldn't win a playoff round. They were playing well down the stretch. They were playing really well. They probably beat the – well, I don't know about the Pacers, but they give Pacers a fight. They give the Celtics a fight. They give anybody a fight but the Heat. The Heat made the fucking Thunder look silly. You know? So, like, they ran into a hot team, and that was it. So it's a misleading stat. I don't really hear anyone talking about too much now, but it still floats around a little bit. But, I mean, God, it is working to a T right now.
Well, two things that have happened that help, right? One of them is Stoudemire's low post game is just unreal right now.
He's never had it this much. He was always a slasher, and, you know, he got his points off pick and rolls, not on his own merit in the post.
Right. I've never seen. Now you have a scenario where you add that to, okay, so you have that, and now you have Melo shooting 40% from three-point line. So when Melo is the one who throws it into the post against Amare, it's an unstoppable combo.
It looks natural, and it looks like they really are liking playing with each other. It doesn't look phony. I mean, I know winning cures all, but it seems to me right now they're like BFFs, they're besties, and they like playing with each other.
I actually think Melo is making somebody else pick up his car from the valet.
I know your theory that you think Amari is his kind of his bitch, but
no, he's definitely his bitch. But I think you know, like sometimes when you have somebody who's your bitch, and you go through a stretch where you kind of treat him like an equal a little bit to make him feel good.
Yeah,
that's what's going on.
Because Melo can take it away at any minute.
Oh yeah, Melo could take the keys away and make him go sit in the car.
There was a move in the Sacramento game. Now, I know the game was getting out of hand, but I think Melo passed it to Amari, although I could be wrong about this. But the important part was Amari took like two steps and like slammed it hard, cutting through the lane. It was such a great move, and it was such a like Amari's back. He's healthy right now, and it was so good to see that he can still do that. But as far as the post moves, when he first came to New York, the big thing was like, his jump shot. Oh, I didn't know he had a jump shot like this. Oh, I never saw it. This is great. He was hitting that elbow J with consistency. Now it's the post moves that he's getting those spin moves. And it's just, I mean, having him off the bench, it's just, what a luxury.
Can we talk about that, the athleticism too, though? I mean, he's had at least five ferocious dunks in the past week, and I'm getting a little bit giddy about that.
Well, yeah, it's like almost like you're getting the best of Amari, because the old Amari was all slashing and dunking. Then the new Amari was settling for, you know, jumpers. Now he's doing both. He's combined everything that worked with some post moves. So, essentially, this might be the best Amari Stoudemire has ever been because of the versatility.
We're using him in the best way because, you know, he comes off the bench. That means he's the primary focus of the offense for that 5 minutes when Melo's out, and he gets going.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Bucks game, man. Were they, even though it was the Kings game, they were playing like shit in the first like 7 minutes. They were passing the ball around, one shot, deep three-pointer, and then Smith and Amari come in, and then it just gets fixed. And then all of a sudden they go on a what, like a 25-5 run?
Yeah, I mean, it really feels like Smith and Stoudemire are thriving at the same exact time, which leads me to believe that it's real.
Yeah, I mean, it's legit. Even though these are shitty teams, it's still legit. I have no doubt if they were playing good teams, they would still be winning right now. But yeah, what a luxury to have him off the bench. What do you do, though? Are you going to leave this? Is this the lineup you're going to play? Are you a little concerned about Shumpert, or just you think he's just slow to return? It's a serious injury. That's a huge injury.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little. I'll tell you what I'm not concerned about. He's starting to hit a couple threes, which is nice. His athleticism is not there, but we haven't needed it to be yet. I mean, defensively, we're probably going to need a little more from him come playoff time, but that's a long way away.
Yeah, I mean, it's hopefully going to work. I think that's like someone was saying to me, how come Shump wasn't guarding? I forget what point guard it was. It's a good point guard, and I said, I think it's because they're trying to work him back. They don't need him guarding the best player, per se, just yet. They're just kind of keeping him in, getting him in game shape, testing the knee, and then come playoff time. Yeah, ideally.
Yeah, but you don't want him chasing Brandon Jennings around right now for 40 minutes.
Doesn't need to do it yet.
And also, just remember, right, like we're jumping the gun slightly because Amari's first five games were garbage.
Total garbage.
You know? So yeah. Let's give Shumpert another 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and then let's revisit the Shumpert issue if it is still an issue.
Yeah, because essentially the lineup you're having Felton, Shumpert, Kidd, Melo, Chandler. Do you mess with that? I mean, obviously you say no because it's working, but You know, what do you think, man?
I think you only mess with it if you're facing an Indiana or Memphis.
Yeah. Kid, I think's regressed a little bit.
I honestly think he's looked terrible lately. Like, if you remember how he was playing 2 months ago, he looks hurt.
He looks hurt, and his jumper, it was amazing how surefire he was for the three-pointer. If you left Kid open, wide open, three, he's hitting it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's aiming it.
Yeah, he's not even reaching the basket, actually. It's all front rim.
Yeah, it's shots off. And the thing that kills me about him is when he has the lane, he can't take it. He just can't take it. There's times where he'll be under the basket and he just dishes it out.
I mean, my preference would be for them to just play him very lightly, and then hopefully the All-Star break will get him back to where we need him. Because I got to be honest, you know, I've done a bit of a 180 on Prigioni. I do like almost everything that he brings to the table, and I think he's now shown he can play, you know, 20 minutes. So we don't really need Kid right now unless there's a big game.
It's a shame Ronnie Brewer died, because he would have been good at the three right now.
R.I.P. Ronnie Brewer, R.I.P. We can't joke around about that. We love you, Ronnie Brewer. We don't mean that.
Ronnie Brewer, Ronnie Fields, what happened to him? He was the guy who I touted, who I was like, I'll tell you, man, that is a huge pickup over Landry Fields. That's me doing myself.
Yeah, you got to eat a little crow on that one, huh?
I was like, he is the best three-point shooter in the world.
I said he's a 20% three-point shooter. Do you think he's telling people that he can't play with Melo? He's using the Landry Fields excuse.
Matt, the game I went to in Roost and Magic, they did Hacker Brewer. What the fuck was that? They Ronnie Brewer goes in at late in the game. He hasn't played anything. They put him in because it's a blowout.
The sad part is it was a blowout. It was literally just to humiliate Ronnie Brewer.
He missed two free throws in a row, and then there was a line infraction. One of the Magic jumped in, and I swear Ronnie Brewer said to the ref, he's like, it's okay. We don't have to do it again. It's fine. And he missed the third shot. It's like, I felt bad. I forgot
he missed that third one. I totally forgot.
I very rarely feel bad for professional athletes, because they're in way better position than me. They make a lot of money. They get to play a game for a living. But Ronnie Brewer, I feel a little bad for. This is a guy who started. How many games did the Bulls win last year? 62?
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? Let's just blame it on the fact that he never recovered from his knee injury, and he doesn't have the athleticism he needs to be that glue guy. Look, I feel bad for the guy, but at the same time, maybe it was just a gambler's thing. Who knows? You know, maybe it was a betting line game where, you know, some mob guy was controlling the outcome.
My God, man. He was a guy who was starting, doing a good job, could hit the three. He was open, played a little defense, and now he doesn't play at all.
You were the only one who thought he could hit the three. I looked up the numbers.
He hit him. He was hitting them. He was hitting open threes. I mean, he has that hitch jump shot. Big Will Smith hitch fan. He has that hitch jumper. And now it's gone. I mean, what are you going to do? But like, Kid, I feel like you got to wrap him. I don't know what you do with him. He's totally regressed, and it's fine. He's 58 years old, but who do you put in that three spot, man?
You don't have to worry about it, because it's fine. Like right now, if we had to sit Kid, then you just put, you know, Shumpert at the two, and maybe, I don't know, you start Copeland. You know, you only play him 5 minutes in the first quarter and 5 minutes after halftime.
One of the most entertaining things is when he takes the ball and he's in yo I got this mode, and he's just dribbling again. He just looks like a Colt that just got his legs.
He hit a layup tonight.
He's like, it's on ice. It Copeland on ice. It turns into Knicks on ice.
Was Copeland supposed to be my guy and James White is your guy?
James White's my guy.
Yeah, he's not really looking too good either.
A white guy yanked right away. Dude, I think they should call one of those two and get a big man.
Yeah, you remember when we were joking about how the Knicks don't have any scrubs? Maybe we were totally wrong. They have at least two scrubs.
Well, James White might be in the dunk contest.
Yeah, but he's still a scrub.
Novak's going to win the 3-point.
Is that your prediction?
Yeah, because I think he's the best spot up shooter by far in the NBA. I mean, I think no one beats him. I know Ryan Anderson's good, Matt Bonner, but I think, I mean, think about Capone, very specialized. Capone's not even in the league anymore. And Capone won it twice. I just think Novak wins that. Yeah, he'll be in it. He'll win it.
First of all, is Capone really not in the league anymore?
Not in the league. He's playing overseas. He's in like Greece or somewhere.
Well, he probably got like $3 million to play in Greece, so.
That's a guy who could hit knockdown threes, but that's just all he can do. He's too slow. Can't play defense. And it's just, you're just a liability at that point because then your man can go off.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I think Novak will win the 3-point contest. I would like to see him get the record.
What's the record? 27?
I think it's like high 20s. Like Larry Bird?
It's Larry Bird to get at it.
It's either Bird or Hodges.
Oh, you're right about how fuck you sneaking Hodges in there.
Yeah, Hodges, man. That guy could shoot the lights out. Hey, I want to talk about some league stuff because it was a very interesting week for the league. I want to talk about this Rudy Gay trade. I will tell you my opinion. I am of the belief that Rudy Gay is in that second tier. You know, he's not on the LeBron, Melo level of wing, you know, wing superstars, but he has all the tools. Is there a chance that he could become that? You know, now Melo was getting criticized up until this year. Obviously, Melo is in that top tier now. There's no question about it. Is it possible Rudy Gay, as a 26-year-old, still has a ceiling of, you know, that Melo LeBron level?
By the way, this just in, 2008, Jason Capono, the highest ever for the final round in 3-point contest.
Oh, for the final round. Oh, there's been higher rounds, though, right?
I don't know. I think that's it. Most points in a round, 25, Hodges, so Orrin Capono.
Wow.
There you go. 25. Hodges did an 86. The Rudy Gay trade's interesting, and it sucks, man. If you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan, think about when they upset the Spurs. They had, like, Battier and Rudy Gay and Mayo and Randolph and a young Gasol. Like, they were kind of building on something, and you kind of take that away. But I get for the cap issues. I mean, it's funny. You know, you want to get on Hollinger, Mr. PER, and the first thing he does is trade their leading scorer, Rudy Gay. Is Rudy Gay never been an all-star? He's kind of just like a name brand. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be a superstar, but I think if you're Toronto, you make that deal.
Yeah, what I mean, else you wanna, you know, who else are you going to get to come play in Toronto and be the star?
You have a competitive disadvantage playing in a market like that, so you got to make a move. So I don't blame them. For the Grizzlies, we'll see. Prince had a nice game last time. He had 14 points. Maybe it's more, you know, of like a team thing where he fits the team more.
Like,
I mean, when they upset
the Spurs, look,
Gay
look,
was hurt. Remember that. Gay was hurt when they beat the Spurs
look,
2 years ago.
Look, I get it. I get it. It's tough. The league is really cracked down luxury cap-wise. I don't like it. If I'm a Memphis Grizzly fan, I say we have no chance anymore because – there is no go-to guy. You know, you're going to have to win a game by handing the ball to somebody. I mean, it's just very difficult to win the game in the post in the NBA as it is now.
Yeah, and we've talked about with the Knicks. One of the things about the Knicks is you have Melo. You have that guy at the end that you know can win the game. Yeah, who is going to be that guy for the Grizzlies? Not Mike Conley. It's not Zach Randall. I mean, who's going to get the tough bucket that can create
I'll
at the
tell
end
you
of
who
the
it's
game?
Not going to be. Tayshaun Prince.
Oh, God. Someone wrote an article, I think it was Zach Lowe Graham, and he goes, meh. I mean, it just sums up. Tayshaun Prince was a good player on a championship team, but it's just nothing you're going to get excited about. Grizzlies, who's to say they couldn't win the chip this year? I love that everyone's like, well, the Grizzlies couldn't win it. They had no chance, so they had to do something. Like, really? I mean, that's a tough team. In the playoffs, you want to face them with
well,
Rudy
you know,
Gay?
You know my,
you have-
I mean, you know my theory. I've been saying this all year long. This is a down year for the league. The Knicks can win the championship this year.
Because there's no runaway team.
Yeah,
what about
this
the Thunder?
Is a down. This is a down year in terms of like dominant teams. There's no bulletproof team. If you look at the most complete team, it's the Knicks or the Bulls when Derrick Rose comes back.
Thunder, dude. The Thunder are the most complete team.
Nah, they got holes, man. They got holes. They got a weak bench.
Really? You think a weak bench?
Yeah, they got a weak bench.
Nick Collison, do you?
They got Nick Collison and you know and Kevin Martin. That's their bench. I don't know. I mean, Look, I'm not saying the Thunder aren't the best team in the league, because they are. They're not the most complete team. I think they have holes.
Also, the Heat are just coasting right now. I mean, the Heat are not playing like
the Clippers are the most complete team in the West, in my opinion, when they're healthy. You know, and I think the Knicks and the Bulls are the most complete team in the East.
What about this Garnett rumor?
The Clippers.
There's a Garnett for Eric Bledsoe rumor going around.
Oh, man, I really hope that doesn't happen, because that puts the Clippers over the top.
Getting Garnett?
Yeah.
Do you just have him come off the bench?
Yeah. I mean, you put Garnett in the playoffs for 20, 25 minutes a game. I mean, that's just I really don't want to see that happen.
Because essentially you don't need Eric Bledsoe if you're the Clippers.
Eric Bledsoe is the kind of luxury you have when you're in a lucky situation, because he's going to be starting for a team next year anyway.
Very good. Very good defender.
Eric Bledsoe is the kind of thing that happens to a team that happens to have a good, you know, good GM or something, you know?
Yeah, they don't need him. They have Chris Paul. And if you want Chris Paul to resign, you get Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. Wow. I really hope straight. But the money doesn't work straight up, right? I mean,
it's like Eric Bledsoe and some other things, and they make it work.
Yeah, I mean, you could basically toss Caron Butler into the garbage with Bledsoe.
Didn't they do? No, it's Caron Butler also. Caron Butler and Bledsoe.
Wow.
Seems like it's going to happen, dude.
That's going to happen?
It seems like it, yeah. I mean, Garnett's got that no-trade clause. Can you play Bledsoe at the two? Because if you sign Rondo, you're going to tell me they're not going to re-sign Rondo?
No, but Bledsoe and Rondo can't play together. They're too little. But, I mean, you don't want to do that.
So what do? You get rid of Rondo?
I don't think they're in love with Rondo.
They're not. With, you know, he's super talented.
I know, but they've been dangling him for 5 years.
All right.
I want to go back to Memphis, because I think Memphis had one of the most complete teams in the league that they just blew up, and I think they cost themselves a championship. I think they did what Dallas did 2 years ago after they won the championship. Like, you had all the pieces, like, and your fan base is excited. Like, you don't give away that run. I don't know, man. It's tough.
It's weird to have OJ Mayo and Gay, and then you get rid of both of them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really tough.
I agree with you.
You agree with what?
I don't know. I mean, some people are saying, what were they going to win with Gay? But really, that's your go-to scorer. But I don't know. I didn't like it when I heard about it. I just think it's a little troubling to me, that move where you're just giving up Gay to get under the cap. It really sucks.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, so what is the point of getting under the cap, right? Like, what is your goal? Like, if your goal is to win the championship and you're that close, like, what is the – because I understand what Oklahoma did, because Oklahoma still has a chance to win the championship because they had the two best pieces, you know? Although I still don't like giving up Harden.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, if I ran the Thunder, which I don't, as you know, I would have just kept Harden this year, gone for the championship, and then deal him in the offseason. You're going to tell me there's not a market for him there?
Right. Well,
what's the difference?
Yeah, no, listen, I think you're totally right. I didn't know how good Harden was. Now that I know how good he is, I think it was even worse of a deal now that I'm looking at it.
Their team still works very well with Kevin Martin on the bench. And,
yes.
And Harden wouldn't have been that good in the Thunder. It would have just,
maybe, but at the end, here's the thing, right? But maybe Russell Westbrook doesn't hit a big shot at the end. That, you know, James Harden's a better shooter, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how about Westbrook's meltdown? They're up by like 15 and he's just fucking having a hissy fit.
I mean, that's what gives me hesitation, man. It's like, I don't know. There's something about, look, Oklahoma's got the most talent. You know, those two guys, you know, are just on another level. But I don't know, man. I'm not scared of them because of his mental state.
Westbrook, right?
Yeah, he needs to go to J.R. Smith's shrink.
Mo Cheeks had to calm him in the hallway.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to call JR and find out who is, you know, therapy, who he's getting therapy from. Is it Lorraine Bracco? Who is it? Who's
yeah.
it? But I like the trade for Toronto. You've got Kyle Lowry and Rudy Gay. You got something to build on over there.
They're besties too. Kyle Lowry is apparently hated everywhere by every organization he's been to. Like no one can deal with him.
Is he cancer? Is he locker room cancer?
Yeah, he's totally. I like Calderon. Is that so wrong to me? I feel bad for liking him. I feel like I don't know basketball if I like him, but I feel like he.
I like him too. I watched him tonight. I watched him tonight. I'm like, oh, he's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he's a good player, man. I feel like he gets shit on. I guess he, you know what? Once he got like a bigger contract,
It always blows things out of proportion when you go, oh, well, he's not a $10 million a year guy, you know. But he's a good player. Oh, this is what I want to tell you. I went to Laker game. I went to Laker game while you were in Orlando. I was at the Laker game.
Heck yeah.
To watch those guys up close, man, it's a certain satisfaction of seeing how bad they are. And this was with Howard in there and Gasol and everybody.
Yeah.
And it was against New Orleans, and they really, really struggled. Really struggled.
They won that game, though. I mean, there's a few games in a row that they were up, and then they blew it, but they won most of them, except the Suns.
No, but I'm telling you, man, to watch them up close, even though they won that game and they were up a little bit, there is nothing good about that team.
Yeah, they're not going to do much if they get in the playoffs, which I do think they can, because I don't like this Jazz or Portland. And I think Jazz slip out.
Yeah, but still, even if they get in, they'll get swept by Oklahoma in the first round, no doubt.
Oklahoma City would put it to them.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be like the biggest margin of victory maybe in playoff history.
You're not a big Earl of
He might be their only good, he might be the Lakers' only good player. Let's do our five Knicks of the week. Maybe there was enough room for five.
Yeah, let's get into it. You do your fifth first.
At number five, I know he's not a player, but I just wanted to acknowledge Mike Woodson because he's not
I did that too, you asshole.
Oh, man, because he's not going to the All-Star game.
I haven't put him in yet. I put him. I was like, I'm going to put Woodson this time for almost getting – you know why you put – because he almost got the All-Star coach.
That's exactly why I was putting him in, because I wanted to acknowledge him. He's the All-Star game. He should have been coaching the All-Star game this year. It's too bad. You know, he fell a little short. But you know what? In my book, he's an All-Star, and he gets my number five spot.
Yeah, that's me too. Fifth, Mike Woodson, for being a great coach, for being my best friend. Okay, we're not best friends, but I want to be best friends with him.
Yeah, who's your number four?
I put this guy is a lot of fun to watch. He drives you nuts. But in that Sacramento game, when he was taking half-court shots and then running down court and dancing, J.R. Smith, what a lunatic. I mean, what about that one possession where he took 3 3-point attempts in one possession and they were all pretty wide open? I mean, has that ever been done before by a guy where he's going to shoot one, miss it, two, miss it, and then get it again? It was awesome. I loved every minute of it. I'm giving J.R. Smith a 4 spot.
My number four is Carmelo Anthony. You know, we put him at number one last week because he could always be number one. You know, he's just a rock. This was the first time, actually. I think it was the Orlando game? I forget which game, where he only had like 2 points in the first, you know, like quarter for once, first time in a while. He let everybody get involved. And we didn't even miss a beat. It was like, holy crap, we're that good right now. And Melo, we were up 50, and he only had like 4 points.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he cares about the streak, the 20 points. I don't think he gave a shit, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming too easy for him. And my number three, I have J.R. Smith for that same reason. I just think we're getting the good J.R. We're not, you know, maybe there's a little bad J.R. in there, but we're getting a hot shooting JR. I mean, he had 25 before you even blinked in that Sacramento game. And even again today, you know, when he comes off the bench, he's just coming out red hot right now.
It's a skill. It's a skill coming off the bench and being hot like that, because you got to warm up and you sit down for like a half hour, what could be, you know, with the national anthem and like the first 8 minutes of the game. So it's a skill to come back in and just be hot.
Yep.
So there's this sixth man is a legit thing. I gave Prigioni my third slot just because really solid these games all week. Just very, steady, gets that steal inbounds. It's just a steady presence.
Did you see this? This was funny. They were asking all the Knicks about their Super Bowl picks, and he's like, "I don't know. They are brothers, right? That's all I know."
No, they're two brothers. That's all I know.
He knew less about the Super Bowl than my girlfriend did. My girlfriend thought that it was the Manning brothers.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah. So all right. So that's your three.
Oh, well, that's next year.
Yeah, I'll tell her it is. Hopefully. So my number two, I have Tyson Chandler. He apparently Woodson called him into his office and said, "You're not playing like an all-star. Don't embarrass yourself. Get out of my office." Oh. And then he threw a stack of books at him, and then Tyson Chandler threw a fastball and hit the door, and he thought he was cut. Turns out it was just a big prank.
Had a rebound book.
Yeah, he gave him Had a Rebound by Bill Russell, and he came out with 60 rebounds in his last three games. He's been slicing through the lane for some monster jams.
Tyson's, I think, my favorite player, technically. He brings it every night, and he has no attitude. A guy like Melo has so much attitude. Tyson has no attitude.
Yeah, but maybe he's not allowed to. It's kind of like the fat chick has to be nice. Like, Chandler has to be the guy with no attitude.
It's amazing what he did with his career. Didn't you think he was a scrub with the Bulls?
He was a scrub up until 3 years ago. He was backing up Nazir Muhammad in Charlotte, I think.
Yeah, well, let's not forget about him with Chris Paul. He was really good with Chris Paul.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yes. He was really good with Chris Paul. And then they tried to trade him. Remember the Bobs? It didn't go through. And everyone was like, "Why do they want to trade Tyson Chandler? He's good." And then it went through like the next year. And Chris Paul was really pissed. And he was like, I guess, shitty with the Bobcats. But it was just kind of a shitty thing. Did he play with Felton with the Bobcats? Or yeah, he was with Felton with the Bobcats, right?
Yeah.
Different era? No, they
no,
played
they,
together,
they did
right?
play together. They did.
Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, he did with the Mavs.
Yeah, look, Chandler's a beast, man. He's a beast, and he's an all-star, and he's a very deserving all-star.
Yeah, they were both in the Bobcats together. Yeah. They were in the playoffs together. How come that's not talked about with this year? Like, oh, Tyson Chandler reuniting with ex-Bobcat.
Yeah. They only talk about the championship-winning Mavs reunion. They never talk about the first-round losing Charlotte Bobcats.
Yeah, what's up with that? I don't always want to talk about Kidd and Chandler, but we never talk about Raymond Felton and Chandler.
Yeah, we never talk about that Bobcats reunion. You're right.
Two of the best Bobcats in the history of Bobcats.
So who do you got?
What are we up to? What am
you're
I up to?
You're number two and one are coming up.
Two? I got to be honest. I didn't put Chandler. I didn't forget him, but he's just, you know, whatever to me. I put Raymond Felton for coming back and just being steady. You know what I mean? Just having steady hands with Raymond Felton.
Yeah, and then who does that leave for your number one?
Amari Stoudemire, Mr. Spin Move, Mr. Dream Shake. Fucking great, great shooting percentages. He was, what, 7 of 7 the other night, 9 of 10 the other night. Just really good off the bench. Great attitude coming off the bench. I put Amari as my Nick of the Week.
Yeah, I can't even believe I also have Amari Stoudemire. I mean, look at the mountain he climbed. All the people crapping on him, including me, he soaked it all in. Everybody talking about, oh, Amari can't come off the bench. His ego's too big. He's too old. He's too slow. He doesn't play D. All he does is become the missing puzzle to the 2012-2013 NBA champion New York Knicks.
Great.
He's the man.
Great, man.
He's the man. And at 17 shots in a row he hit at one point.
Yeah.
It's incredible. All right, so let's look at the schedule this week.
I mean, let's do it.
What are you looking at? We got Washington. Wednesday at the Wizards, Friday at Minnesota, and Sunday at home for the Clippers.
I think they're going to go 2-1. I mean, they should go 3-0 because is Chris Paul playing in this Clippers game? Do we know?
We don't know yet.
So I think they're going to kill the Wizards, right? Okay. Yeah. Then the Timberwolves. I mean, the Timberwolves got some players, but they got so many injuries, and I don't give a shit about them. I think they beat the Timberwolves. And they, even though they had a little trouble with them last time, and then, and I guess maybe they lose to the Clippers. The Clipper game is home, though. That's a nice Sunday 1 p.m. game.
Yeah.
But I'd say 2-1.
I think they're going 3-0, man. Yeah. I think it's a big game. I think they're trying to prove something on ABC. Melo really is really looking at this game as his national audience for his MVP run. You know Melo cares about that. You know Melo cares about that, right? I mean,
of course he does.
So, you know, I think we go 3-0. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You're right. That Sunday game at home, I'm being swayed a little bit. But I'll stick 2-1 just to be conservative. But, yeah, that, if they're home for the Clippers, they should beat them. This is the first one.
What was that?
Clippers, right? Yeah.
The first home game against Clippers, yeah.
Did they play them now?
No, we haven't played. We haven't played the Clippers.
No, this.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I like the Sunday 1 o'clock. Both game Clippers are Sunday. That's a fucking that's an interesting little fun fact for no one.
Yeah, yeah. So before we go, I wanted to ask you one thing. Do you, when you see Steve Novak on the court, doesn't it always look like he either just ate a lollipop or he has a bloody mouth?
Steve Novak?
Yeah, I don't know. He has like a fluorescent mouth.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's funny. Tweet him. Ask him.
It's a weird observation that I've noticed about Steve Novak. They didn't mention anything on his origins. You know? That's just something I observed. All right, well, listen, man. We're back rolling, rocking and rolling. You know, I think at least regardless, by the All-Star break, we're going to either have won, you know, 8 out of 9 or 7 out of 9, you know?
We saw this coming, man. It was perfect timing when you're getting everyone back and you have a little break in your schedule. It was perfect timing.
Yeah, and the good thing is that, you know, the schedule gets slightly tougher over the next, you know, couple weeks, but I feel like we're poised to win 50, you know, mid-50s at this point. We're really rocking and rolling.
53, buddy. I mean, look, man, they're 31-15. They haven't been 31-15 since 96 with a record this good, so.
It's nice. Feels nice.
Gotta love it. You gotta love it.
Yep. Yeah. All right, man. Well, this wraps it up. I think that wraps it up for this week's podcast, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Peace.
All right.